Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, America has hit a major milestone, what experts are calling peak 65. That means more people than ever are turning 65, stepping into retirement, facing the big question, am I really ready for this? So today we're going to go through and help you guys figure out how to navigate those retirement years.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. My name's Steve Siddall. Kevin, of course, helping folks for a good long time, better than three decades. And you've seen some stuff come and go, and this is going to be an interesting segment. Kevin, bye. Hi. How are you?
Hey, you know, I am doing great. You know what? This is the time of year where I like to tease all my friends back in the northern parts of the country. They give me a hard time when it's, you know, 110 out here.
Right, because so, it's not going to get above zero some places.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. How does that feel? How does that sound to you right now, huh? So, yeah, we're doing well. We're doing well, enjoying the winter time in Arizona.
Sure. Well, and what we're going to talk about today, this peak 65, and you know, that means there's a lot of people that are needing help with retirement. To me, that's the takeaway.
That is exactly right. And you know, I've been hearing for a long time, this, of course, we're talking about the whole baby boom generation, which you guys might know, I believe, is roughly people born between 1948 and 1964, you know, because that's essentially me and my oldest brother. We're like the bookends of the boomers. And,
okay.
You know, I saw something that says 65, you know, you're officially too old to know what the latest slang is, but you're young enough to still use it incorrectly.
Ain't that the truth?
I just thought that was funny, you know, and because you're with all the texting and everything going on and all these abbreviations, I'm like, what in the world is that? You know, and I have to go to Google to ask, you know, what in the world does this mean? So anyway, but on the retirement topic, they have been saying for a long time with the boomer generation that it's basically 10,000 people a day are retiring. And that's essentially the number, ballpark, of people turning 65. And so there's a lot of us out there, and there are a lot of implications, guys. One of them, real quickly, just to point out, is the number of people now that are going to be drawing and taking their Social Security instead of paying and contributing to it. All right,
right.
That's one of the reasons why Social Security is running out of money, because when the program was first set up, there was you know, maybe 10 workers or something for every person collecting, and now there might be four. And those aren't exact numbers, but the idea is the ratio. There's
sure.
a lot fewer people contributing versus collecting than I believe ever in history. So that's one of the issues. So it's really important that we know how to navigate retirement, because you can't count on Social Security alone. I think if you're planning to just live on Social Security, you might wind up having more of a meager existence than you hope for. All right. I don't personally believe it keeps up with inflation. I've yet to meet anybody that thinks it does keep up with inflation. So, you know, so you're going to lose spending power over time, and you really need to have some other assets, other investments, other income streams that you can live off of in addition to Social Security, and then you can set yourself up for that golden retirement.
That sounds great. And yeah, I mean, I don't, I'm going to do a callback here. You were talking about, using the slang or the new words incorrectly. So there's a new one out of you. Have you heard of it? It's called FOBO. No, there's FOMO, right? Fear of missing out.
Yeah, FOMO. You know FOMO, I know. Right? FOBO, I don't know. I know BOGO. I don't know FOBO.
Here, no, you're going to like this one. FOBO, fear of becoming obsolete.
Oh, wow. There
but
you
again,
go.
Isn't that for baby boomers? That's right. That's what's happening.
I tell you what, I think that with AI, I think it with artificial intelligence. You know, who is not going to be obsolete is my question. I mean, really, okay. Now they're talking about super intelligence. You know what super intelligence is? That means the machine is smarter than we are. Smarter than the smartest of us. All right? Including creativity and artistry.
That's happening now.
That is happening now. They're working on it now, and some people are saying within 10 years we could be to that point. So, guys, whatever job you have, if you're planning on keeping working, make sure you consider the new developments, because I personally think AI, it will make a lot of companies much more productive. It probably will increase their profit margins because they're going to be able to get rid of a lot of human beings and replace us with technology. So, that FOBO, fear of becoming obsolete, I think that's a real thing. And so, it's important that we, as we go into our retirement years, right, you've had a lot of experiences, you've had your wins, you've had your losses, you've had challenges, and hopefully we learn lessons from those, right? And you can pass it on
Let's
to the next
so.
Generation, right?
Sure.
Let's hope. So one of the things that we have figured out is, is that we really want to start, saving, and this obviously isn't so much for people that are retiring now, but if you happen to be younger, you want to start saving as soon as you can. Putting money away and building up that nest egg as soon as you can, and then the key is do it consistently every time you get paid. So whether you get paid monthly or weekly or daily, however it is, every time you get paid, the first bill you pay should be to yourself. In other words, prioritize saving, just like you do prioritize, paying your rent or your car payment or your mortgage. It's just as important to save and put money away because as of right now, if a younger generation is counting on Social Security, you may want to lower that expectation a little bit because right now that fund is 20 to 25% underfunded. So what's going to happen is right now there's still enough money, new money coming in through payroll taxes that there has been a surplus, but the surplus is going to run out in the next several years. And now with the changes that the latest administration made with this, what do they call it, Social Security Fairness Act, I think they called it. So they're basically people that had pensions and government jobs, they were getting reduced Social Security benefits because of their pension. It was a pension offset. Now they decided that wasn't fair. And so they bumped up Social Security payments for 3 million people, which means that the 60-some million people that are collecting Social Security are that much closer to seeing the program go bust, all right, because they didn't do anything to offset it. What they call a pay for, so if you're going to do a tax cut, show me how you're going to pay for the tax cut. If you're going to stop taxing tips, show me how the hell you're going to pay for that, right? That's my issue. Guys, do you know right now that almost 20% of our revenue as a country goes to interest on our debt? It's 19%. That's how much interest we're paying. $1 trillion a year just in interest payments on the debt, guys. It's horrible.
And you thought 20% on a credit card was bad.
Oh, yeah, right? I did. And you know what? As interest rates went up for me and you and anybody that has a loan, I guess I shouldn't say that. I luckily paid off my mortgages a while back and I don't carry any interest. So I'm actually in favor of higher interest rates because I'm a saver. I don't have any debt. So I would like higher interest rates. But a lot of people have mortgages and you're paying a higher interest rate now. And guess what, guys? Unfortunately, the government is too. So we're paying higher interest rate on the massive $36 trillion in debt that we have. We're paying higher interest payments on it now than we were 5 years ago. And the way it looks, it's going to keep going. Because if all this talk of tariffs, most economists, I'd say 90% of economists would say that tariffs are inflationary. If you reduce the labor force by kicking out all the immigrants, then you're reducing supply, right? You're reducing the supply of labor, which means the price is probably going to go higher. And so there's a lot of things circling around right now. that to me looks like I don't personally believe there's going to be any more rate cuts this year. And I think if inflation stays the way that it is, you're going to start hearing talk about a rate hike. And so that would not be good for the market. And so if you're close to retirement, if you're a boomer and you're close to retirement, if you have a lot of money in the market, you might want to take a good look at whether you want to maintain that. Because right now, we're basically at all-time highs. We're within a stone's throw of all-time highs in the S&P 500. The all-time high, I think, is 61.28, and I believe we're within 50 points of that. Actually, less than 50 points. I think we're 20 or 30 points away from it. Less than 1% from the all-time high ever.
And what was the all-time high?
I believe I think it's 61.28.
Okay, well, yeah, we're close.
We're very, very close to the all-time high. So my point is this. If you have a lot of money in stocks, now might be a really good time to reduce your stock exposure. Sell at the high or damn close to the high, right?
Yeah,
that's right. The time to do it. If you want to sell high, that's where we are right now. So if you think you've got more money at risk than you should have, I would seriously be looking at whether you should reduce that allocation. For instance, if you have index funds, on the S&P 500, you know you got a very low expense ratio if you've got one of the big ones. You're probably paying 3 basis points in expenses, or maybe a little bit more, but it's pretty low, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you got maybe 1.5% or 2% yield. Yeah, how about if I could show you how you can invest in the S&P 500 and get almost a 10% yield? How about that? Because then if the market goes down, you've got way more dividend income than you would if you just in the index itself. How about if you can get into that index and have a 9.6, 9.7% yield? I can show you how to do that. And this investment made 10% in gains last year, capital gains, and it paid out the 9% or so in 9 or 10% in dividends. So you got almost a 20% total return. You just got it in a different way than the S&P 500 pure index. Because
sure.
that's mostly capital gain, right?
Yep.
So the reason I bring this up, Steve, is because there's a lot of investors, a lot of older ones, that I think are taking more risks than they have to because they just don't know how to do it any other way. And that's why I'm saying there's a lot of investments out there, guys, that have very high dividends, and what they're doing is they're using hedging strategies to give you some downside protection. So if you get almost a 10% dividend, if the market drops 5%, you're okay, right? But,
sure.
You know, but if you don't have any dividends, then that's a different story. So there are investments out there that I use that are hedged, and the idea is to provide you some downside protection, some cushion, or a way to provide you income if the markets are flat. What if the market just goes up and down, and it goes sideways for the next year? You're not going to make anything if you have an index fund, but if you have something like this, you can make almost 10%. All right? So if you're interested in that, give me a call. I'll be happy to sit down and talk to you and go over some other ideas with you.
800-975-6717. That's the number, 800-975-6717. Better yet, visit the website, silverleaffinancial.com. Silverleaf, like the tree, leaffinancial.com. You can reach out to Kevin right there. In fact, you can set your own appointment. And that's so nice that, you know, we can just do that and just be there for you.
Oh, you know what? I was really happy, Steve, when I figured that out, you know, when I found it. This is a new app that came along a few years back. It's called Calendly, and there's a blue oval on the bottom right corner of my screen on my website, silverleaffinancial.com. And all you do is click on that, and you can set up what I say is a 15-minute phone call. It could be 5 minutes, could be 10 minutes. The point is it's just a brief phone call to talk for a couple minutes, see what you're trying to accomplish. Some people mistakenly think that a financial advisor is somebody that helps with credit counseling or debt counseling or helping them get out of debt or working out of towards a bankruptcy, things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are some financial guys, you know, there are definitely financial people that do that, but they're not under the umbrella of a financial advisor. We're investment advisors, all right? So we're kind of on the other side of the ledger, all right? And I think that it's important that you find yourself an advisor that you can work with, that you're comfortable with. And I think a great way to do that, the reason I say that on the telephone is I've had some people that had that misunderstanding. We can clear that up in 5 minutes. We don't need to waste our time going to a meeting to figure out that I'm not the guy for you. So let's see if we're a good fit, and then you can link right there. That calendar is linked to my calendar. So you can see when I've got something else going on, and you can see when I'm available, and you can schedule it anytime you want. We can talk whenever you want. So please take advantage of it. Because, guys, I can also show you these investments on the NASDAQ 100. A lot of people own the QQQ, which is the NASDAQ 100 index. It's one of the biggest exchange-traded funds out there, if not the biggest. So it's an index fund, right, with the NASDAQ 100 stocks. which has done very well historically. How about if I showed you a way that you can do the same thing, get almost a 10% dividend, and invest in the NASDAQ 100? It's the same structure as the one I mentioned a minute ago on the S&P 500. My point is you can invest in the index and get between 9 and 10% dividends from hedging strategies, which I can go into in more detail if anybody would like me to, but for the purpose of this show, it's not really necessary. No. I'm happy to explain how they do it. There's a lot of different ways to do it, strategies. But I like these for older investors that say, you know what, Kevin, I want to stay in the market, but I hate all the volatility. These have less volatility. They have a lower beta. So the beta is a measurement of statistical volatility. So break it down. If you've got a beta of 1.0, that means it goes up and down just as much as the S&P 500 index. If you've got a beta of 1.3, that means you've got 30% greater volatility. So you've got greater price fluctuation than the S&P 500 index. But if you're on the other side at, let's say, 0.8, you've got 20% less volatility. So that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I've found a lot of retired folks prefer, is show me a way I can make good returns, but I don't have to see these massive swings in my portfolio every month or every quarter. And these are some things that I do like to use. I have other ones as well. And for the record, guys, I can get AAA bonds, AAA senior secured bonds right now, paying over 6%. All right.
Wow.
So I don't know why anybody would want to keep their money in a bank account. And I'm not talking about money for spending and emergency money.
No, right.
If you've got anything more than your living expenses in your bank account, you're really making a mistake. You're missing a huge opportunity. There are other ways to make money. You can make money. You can do it with a conservative bias. That doesn't mean you have to sit entirely out of the market. And so I think it's important, you know, that as you get older, that you make sure you've got a way to deal with inflation. And what I'm saying is, to me, it makes sense to still have some money in the stock market. It doesn't mean a massive amount of money. It could be 10% or 20%, whatever you're comfortable with, if you're comfortable with it. But on the other hand, if I've had some people say, Kevin, you know what? I've got enough money. I've got my $2 million, and I just want to preserve it. I want a little bit of growth, but I don't want to take a chance on losing any of it. Mm-hmm. Then we could just stick with fixed interest. You can get a 5.5. I can get 5.6 right now, guaranteed, for 5 years on a plain vanilla fixed annuity. So the good news is you don't pay any tax on the interest until you take the money out. Not like a CD where you got to pay tax on the interest every year. So this is tax deferred. After 5 years, you can take it out and do whatever you want with it. It's a simple guaranteed rate with no fees, no charges, and no hidden anything. All right? It's just plain vanilla. So there are definitely – and by the way, guys, I can get 5.3 for 3 years, right? See if your bank can come close to that. And that's a guaranteed rate. So
get 0.3 at the bank.
Yeah, exactly. And that's – a lot of people, they're really doing themselves an injustice because they hear the word annuity and they think it's like a four-letter evil word or something.
Yeah.
All right? Guys, it's like everything else. There are some bad doctors, right? They get sued for malpractice and they lose their license, right? There are some bad lawyers. There are bad apples in everything. And yes, there are bad stocks, right? There are junk bonds, lousy bonds you could lose your shirt on, right? And yes, there are bad, lousy choices for annuities. That doesn't mean the whole asset class is bad. It just means you've got to work with somebody that can help you figure out the good ones from the bad ones and that can help you see the benefit of them. And I like the plain vanilla fixed annuities simply because I can get a better guaranteed rate than I can get anywhere else. And if I could do it through a bank CD, I'll take the bank CD. I don't have any bias one way or the other. Right. I'm just looking for the best guaranteed rate.
And again, but that's what you do for your clients.
It is. And you know what, Steve? That's the advantage. That's why I went independent is because I want to be able to look across the entire investment landscape and look and find – research what is best for each individual situation. And every client I deal with, they've got a custom portfolio. I don't have any two clients. None of my clients have the same exact portfolio as another person. They might have some common denominators, like they could own Apple stock, they could own Nvidia, things like that, but they don't have exactly the same portfolio. I don't do a cookie cutter portfolio, which is what you get at a lot of the big firms if you've got anything less than $1 million. So they have a portfolio that they run. Everybody that's moderate gets a moderate portfolio. It's the same for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's in that group. So the benefit of working with an independent fiduciary is that we can choose, look over the entire landscape, and recommend what we think is best for you, and we're obligated to do what's best for you, not what's best for our firm or our company or our manager or for our own pocketbook. It's what's best for the client, and I do everything I can to adhere to that standard.
And again, that, I mean, to certainly people appreciate that, obviously, and you wouldn't be doing what you're doing for more than 30 years if you were doing anything, you know what I mean? You're just really out there to help.
I am, and when I think about 35 years, I'm like, holy cow.
Okay, you're not that old, right?
But I swear to you, I'm not that old. Yeah. I swear. You know, and but man, you know, there's so much that you hear growing up from your parents, and you think, and it's like, yeah, right. And maybe you chuckle at it. I know I chuckled at it when my mother would say, you know, don't wish your life away. Time will go by fast enough. Because I, when I was 14, I wanted to be 16. When I was 16, I wanted to be 18. You know, when I'm 18, I'll be 21.
Sure.
And so on, you know, and that's what she would tell me. And I'm like, it doesn't seem like it's going that fast to me. You know, so.
Have you sat in school in the afternoon?
Exactly. How many times did you look at that clock in that last hour?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right, your last class? Oh, man, I remember doing that all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, time does go by quickly, you know, but as we get into retirement, I mentioned we want to have diversified income streams, you know, so, you know, some people do like to use an annuity for a lifetime guaranteed income. It's the only vehicle that will pay you even if the account goes to zero. Okay, now it's important that you understand all annuities do not offer that, all right, but a lot of them do. And there's a lot of other ways you can get lifetime income from an annuity, so you know you've got that money just like your Social Security. Hopefully, you'll have that for your lifetime, right? And I would say as much as you can count on Social Security, you can count on a lifetime income stream from an annuity that has that contractual guarantee. And so it could be a second source of income for you where I would say, you know what? I'm not saying put everything in there. Maybe put $100,000, $200,000 into the annuity to get guaranteed income. And then maybe put another piece of your portfolio in stocks and another piece in fixed interest. Maybe put something in into private credit or private equity. I can show you a private credit fund that's paying almost 10% as well, right? Very little fluctuation. It's a senior secured private credit fund serving what they call the middle market. So it's not the super big companies. It's not the tiny little startups. It's the middle market, but it's a senior secured loan. So what you're doing is you're giving money to the institution. They in turn lend it out to well-qualified investors. This is from one of the biggest institutions on Wall Street. And it's paying you almost a 10% dividend.
Wow, so, that's amazing. And that's something, I don't, you know, apart from you, I've never heard of it until we've talked about this.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I think that's what people don't understand. You know, they've heard a pitch or two or seen a presentation or they went to a seminar, and they think they've heard it all, all right? But all you heard was a piece of what that person wanted to talk about, and it doesn't mean that's everything. And the nice thing, one of the great things that I think, Steve, about the stock market and about the investing community is that they are always working on trying to create something new, something different, something better, just like really every other industry, right?
Of course.
You know, they're always trying to make a faster computer, and everyone's trying to figure out artificial intelligence and how to make that the fastest and the cheapest and all this. It's the same thing in the investment community. They're always coming up with new things. Now, some of it you don't want to touch, okay? And that's why I'm going to say you really want to have an advisor that you trust, because you can bounce ideas off of us. We can give you our opinion. You know, the two heads are better than one. I think that is one very, very true, you know, old saying.
Absolutely.
And I've got a lot of clients that will ask me questions. It doesn't have to be about something that I directly, you know, manage, like their stock portfolio or bonds or something. I'm happy to answer any question. I talk to my clients about auto insurance and homeowners insurance. I don't sell those. But I'm very familiar with them, and I can give you some tips on how to save some money, especially with rates going up 20-25% like they've been the last few years.
Yeah, they are.
You know, so a good advisor should be willing to talk to you about anything and everything under the sun that has to do with finance. It doesn't have to be specifically their own domain.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is going to be a hard turn here, but with the federal, with them paying off all these federal workers, right, to resign.
Oh yeah.
Is that an opportunity? Is that an opportunity to save? Is that an opportunity to invest? Is there something we can do to help them, those people?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
I'm just saying is that if you get a buyout and you know, you're paid through September.
Oh, yeah.
right? So can I take that money and then can I put that somewhere? Can I apply that to my retirement?
Oh, you definitely could. You definitely could. And I'd be happy to talk to anybody or sit down with anybody in that situation.
I think it's an area that probably needs discussion.
I think it does, because I've heard the latest number I heard was 75,000.
Yeah, that's what I saw too.
Workers are accepting it or want to accept it, but there's issues with how strong of a guarantee it is. In other words, there are rumors out there that the government can just say, "Oh, we changed our mind. We're not going to pay you that 6-7 month severance. You're done." And that's what I've heard as a rumor. I have no idea if it's true or not. But obviously, if you're taking a package, you want to have 100% certainty that it's valid, right? And
yes,
you're going to get everything you're supposed to get.
Yes.
But if you are a federal worker in that situation, if you're close enough to retirement, maybe you can completely retire. If not, maybe you can just take a nice vacation for a couple of weeks, go back to work while you're still getting paid. I think, and this is something else I don't know.
Sure.
I presume they can get another job while they're still collecting that severance, but
right.
I don't know. So there's a lot of it that, like a lot of things that, you know, this administration says versus what they do and what actually ends up wind up happening are oftentimes very different. And so it's the devil's in the details, right? So, but if it was me and the offer is, you know, I would have an attorney review the offer in writing, review exactly what they're giving you in writing to make sure you know exactly what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are in that situation, I would want to be able to work. I would want to get another job, maybe take a little break, but then I want another job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, because now I can bank, you know, I can save all that money, from the federal job. So there's definitely an opportunity there for sure. I will say, though, Steve, you know, when you look at, okay, I agree the government is bloated in a lot of different ways, and there's tons of waste. I don't know why they're not talking about Medicare fraud and Medicaid fraud. That's, to me, is the elephant in the room. I don't know why they're not talking about that, because that's supposed to be hundreds of billions of dollars a year. That would be, I mean, remember, we're trying to cut down $36 trillion, all right? So taking away 75,000 government jobs, it's really not going to make a dent, okay? The tax cuts that they're proposing are going to add $5 trillion to the debt. That is a big frickin' deal, all right? There should not be any talk of tax cuts. I really wish everyone would stop talking about tax cuts. Seriously, guys, that's where we get the bulk of our revenue. How in the world are we going to pay down our debt? 20% of our incoming revenue as a nation is going towards interest. Isn't anybody else pissed off about that?
The people that I talk to are, Kevin.
Man, I'm outraged at it. I'm outraged that they're talking about more tax cuts and more breaks, because that's what's got us in this mess, guys. The last time Trump was in office and they passed the tax cuts, it added several trillion dollars to the debt. If you don't believe me, just go look it up, all right? It did. Every administration we've had has been adding to our debt, all right? The last time we came close to getting out of it was back in Clinton in the 90s. So, or 80s or whatever the heck that was. I think it was early 90s, right? It's a huge problem. And, God, the younger generation, y'all are going to get screwed. I'm sorry. But if we don't start getting some serious people dealing with the debt and getting that under control – and, by the way, trade deficits don't have a damn thing to do with it, okay? The fact that we buy more stuff from China than China buys from us, that's not contributing to the nation's debt. Well, that's a trade deficit. What it means is we buy more stuff from them than they buy from us. That doesn't create a debt, all right? It's
right.
A trade deficit that somebody, like we have in office now, they want us to, you know, buy American, right? But it doesn't do anything to the debt. And to me, it's a distraction. That's what I think it is a distraction. What they should be talking about is the Medicaid fraud, Medicare fraud, right? Taking real steps to address the debt. And they like the Republicans just put out a budget that is adding more to the debt to the tune of trillions. All right. This used to be the party of fiscal responsibility. I don't know what happened to it, but that's not the case anymore. So it just really ticks me off. I'm so sick of hearing about cuts when we've got a massive amount of debt. It's like I read an article the other day. Somebody wrote a letter to, I think it was the Wall Street Journal or something. It was a woman, and she wrote a letter saying she's been wanting to go to Europe for a long time, and she wants us to go on a European vacation, and she's planning it all out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes she still has trouble paying all her bills. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're having trouble paying your bills and you want to spend money on a European vacation? What planet are you on? I mean, guys, come on. we need the grown-ups to step up, okay? We need all the adults to come to the front of the class and explain how things are going to be done. I was really glad to see the columnist. I think it was called The Moneyist, if I'm not mistaken, The Moneyist. Okay. And he came down on her pretty hard, pointing out to her that why in the world are you thinking about this? You need to get your everything in order first. You shouldn't be thinking about a vacation until you've got a strong financial base, right?
Yes.
And you've got excess money. You should not be borrowing money to go on vacation. And I think it's a huge mistake a lot of people make. They put it on a credit card. And I'll tell you what, I made that mistake when I was in college. They sent me credit cards while I was still enrolled as a student at University of Florida. And me, like a dumb kid, oh, they're giving me free money. Yeah, let's go. Right? So I said, hey, I said to my girlfriend, let's go to Busch Gardens. Let's have a, you know, take a long week and go to Busch Gardens, which is on the other side of the state if you're not familiar with Florida. And so, but I was a dumb kid, okay? I didn't know what the heck I was doing. That started getting me in credit card debt, which took me years to pay it off. And I swore I will never get in that mess again, ever. And once you do get in there, it is hard to get out. So don't make a silly decision and say, you know, I had a sister who's now passed away. That's why I said had. She used to say she deserves it. I deserve a vacation. And I said, why in the world do you think anybody deserves anything? All right.
Yeah.
Because I'm a self-employed guy. I earn what I'm worth. I don't have a salary, right? Nothing is guaranteed in my life in terms of finances, and it hasn't been for 35 years, all right? So the last thing I'm going to do is borrow money to take a vacation, and I think that's a horrible move if anyone's even thinking about it. Give me a call. I'm happy to give you some other ideas. That is not the route you want to take. Otherwise, you're probably going to be kicking yourself in the ass before too long.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.